for 10 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Information that you can't get anywhere else.
And over three decades of Rosie on the House.
Hour number four of Rosie on the House, our fourth and final hour of our weekly radio broadcast. This is our On the House Hour, where we take a particular topic about your home, castle, or cabin and spend the month on it. This month in April, if you're looking at your home maintenance calendar that you can get by requesting one at info@rosieonthehouse.com, just let us know the address you'd like it to send to, and Lance sends them out at the end of every month. It's interior hard surfaces, and we'll be spending the month talking about floors and countertops and shower surrounds. It's one of the first things that a new home buyer will change, and it's one of those really funny things that it's that and painting, and that's what a lot of people tell or advise to do to sell your home. Put new floors and repaint. And study shows that's one of the first things the new home buyer will do, because they want their own style or their own color or their own flavor. So a lot of new material gets wasted because the floor you put in isn't what your home buyer picked. But you may have gotten a little bit of a premium or a little bit more for your home with the new floor. It's one of those things that, we've going to find a way to reduce waste. That's one way we can do it, is figuring out how to put in timeless flooring or surfaces that can have a universal appeal. I love concrete floors.
Inside and out.
Inside and out. And there's a lot of things you can do to a concrete floor if you don't like it, with area rugs. And this is a very narrow market, but I love the look of just our cowhides on the floor underneath the kitchen tables, but not everyone has animal skins on their floors, but they're great. You pick them up, wash them off, beat them off outside, sweep underneath, and put it back down. And that concrete floor is going to last forever. You don't have a lot of carpet and carpet pads you got to put in and rip out and replace and constantly vacuuming. It's real easy with microfiber, Rubbermaid, Swiffer duster thing? I don't know what you call it.
Duster.
To just wipe it across the floor once a month or as it needs, spot treat it with wax or wax the whole floor.
It's a very durable surface, Romy, but what if you want to change it? I mean, if you had wood floors, you sand
you
them. What
do
you do with that?
Anything you want on top of a concrete floor.
But if you had one finished, to refinish, do you have to strip and start over? Or, like you would change your carpet, or you would change your...
If you keep it waxed... We have not come to the point where that is required.
Okay.
And it's 14 years old, I'm going to say. 14 years. So at some point, I'm sure, bringing it back down to the surface and repolishing it, a concrete floor would be necessary. But we just keep ours, we've just kept it waxed, and that has been sufficient enough at this point. And there's different things you can do. If it's an acrylic base, urethane product sealer, that's different. We put an earth tone sealer on it. It was a water-based product, so it was a little different and designed to be a little bit more longer lasting than a urethane. The thing you can get with that, if there's any moisture, it can get trapped in between the coat, and it can create some cloudiness and fogging, and I don't like that. And then with the dirt that we have in Arizona, those real high polished finishes show every little stinking flake. The color we stain the concrete is more of an earth tone, and with the natural finish on top, you don't see every single track of dust that lands on your floor.
Is that a do-it-yourself project? I don't guess you'd want to try it in the main part of your house.
He's thinking about it.
Well, you're talking about moisture in the concrete
it
and
depends
different kinds
on, of... Yeah. It depends on how you do it. If you're building a new home, there's a couple different options. You can dye the concrete in the mixing truck and pour it out so the color finish is through the entire batch. And that works great when if you've got a chip or a dent that ever happens into your concrete floor, you drop something heavy, like you're moving a refrigerator and it chips your floor. Well, you don't have... it doesn't stand out as bad as if it was just an acid finish top coat, where then you can now see the gray concrete underneath. But if it's already an existing slab, then yeah, your acid stains are most typical finish. They're very durable. And that's actually what we did. I did not pour dyed concrete. I acid stained it. And the reason for that is I wanted a variety of different finishes. So in the living room, it was all, and kitchen, it's all one color. And then we did what's called flat tuing, where you can get designs made and you put it on and then it then removes the acid stain and you color it different. So we took designs out of a ranchman's cattleman's book that was over 100 years old that were actually real brands registered in the state of Arizona. So we've got these cattle brands all through the concrete burnt into the finish. But in the bedrooms, I did a saw cut pattern where I had a border around the room. I pre-cut before we put the walls in so I could go all the way up to the wall. So it looks like these are slabs of rock that were moved into place, and they're big 2-foot diamonds, and each diamond is a different color.
So it kind of looks like a tile effect,
right,
as far as design.
So there's the amount of things you can do with concrete is incredible, and you don't have to start again with a brand new slab. And there's things that you can put over the thin sets and top coats that you can put over an old concrete slab, and a lot of them have polymer in it, makes a really good tight bond, so it gives you a brand new clean floor to work with, as opposed to pulling up an old carpet and you've got the tack strips. When you pull those nails out, they always pop out a little concrete as well. The glue that they use to hold down the carpet padding, you know, all, it can be a very ugly concrete underneath. And if old enough homes, a lot of the construction communication was done on the concrete. They would write what happens here, what happens there, how far off center. So there's a lot of, you know, old Sharpie markers or whatever they were using to write with that can be left on there. So you clean it, dry it, and then put a thin coat on top of it, and you've got a brand new surface to start working with.
If you wanted to learn all that, Cohill's would be a good place to go, huh? They have classes and product and... Yeah.
Cohill's is a great location on 40th Street. It's the 40th Street exit off of I-10. And then you immediately turn left at the light, and it brings you actually now coming back towards the freeway. And then Ann Street is the first right. You'll see the Pepper Sauce Cafe on the corner. Great place to grab lunch if you're down there during
reference.
The middle of the day. And... on May 11th, is that correct? Is that the second Saturday? And let me just flip up a month here. May 11th, yeah.
That's correct.
Marvell Masonry
mm-hmm.
may just be having a grand reopening of their Mesa showroom. It hasn't been officially announced yet, but that would be another great do-it-yourself learning day if you're looking to get projects done with hardscapes, masonry, concrete materials. Circle May 11th as a potential, and just stay tuned here. We'll have updates as that all gets put together. And that one's on Country Club between, I think it's between 60 and the 101. I think it's north of the 60.
Yeah, I think you're right. Mm-hmm.
So that would be another great place that you could learn it. The more we can use lifetime materials, the less waste we have, the less product we have to reinstall later. I pulled this article in particular. As I pulled it up, my headset volume about to give myself a heart attack.
I saw
God,
you.
What'd
jump.
You do, Gary? I'm like,
I saw you jump, and I go, "What's in that article that made him so startled?"
It moved my headset volume. And they've got a mansion section of Friday in the Wall Street Journal, and most of it's really ridiculous stuff that nobody cares about. But you get cool things like this on, what was this, page 4? It talks about dome houses and how they have retained their value different than a traditional built home. And there are a number of requirements my next home is going to have. And one of them is going to be, it's going to be a dome house. And there's a lot of reasons for that, and I won't go into all of them now. But it's going to have no exterior paint, because all of the dye is going to be either in the concrete or the masonry materials. This dome house from Sullivan's Island, South Carolina, looks like it's all poured in place concrete. I think that becomes very bland. The whole thing is white. So I'm going to have not just a solid, I'm going to have a lot of other architectural features. So instead of just a complete pour-in-place dome, it's going to have split-face masonry, curved walls. It's going to have sections of the home that are going to be like a rammed earth wall. So it'll be a combination of different masonry materials all etched together, so you don't just get this one bland, you know, I mean, it looks like you walk in home to an egg.
So is there a difference between dome home and a geodesic? I guess I'm thinking circular home.
So the geo, you're getting into architecture terms now, and I'm going to get busted here on my correct pronunciation. So I'll answer that in a second. But the point is that all of the material is going to have the color finish in the cement or concrete. Okay. So it's never going to require an exterior painting. And on the interior is going to be the same thing. And that's one reason why I'm going to use CMUs in a lot of application, because you can do a diamond polish on the interior finish and a rough split on the exterior. So you've got this incredible contrast in masonry from the outside to the inside. There will be no structural wood and no drywall on the interior. I mean, it's going to be a home when done and designed. It's going to be as maintenance-free as possible. So those are part of the requirements on this home. But the reason for the dome, one of the main key features, is it's in a circular pattern. So your movement, if the home is centered, you know, if the center of the dome is your living room and your kitchen and your bathroom and your bedrooms are all around the side, the amount of wasted movement you have getting to your home is reduced huge, instead of having these long hallways in all these different directions.
Don't get your windows replaced until you get an education and a quote from the experts at Pella Windows. So we've got Adam Homer in. Your fiberglass product, in my opinion, it's the right window for Arizona. Explain that a little bit.
Pella's got a patented process. They pultrude fiberglass through this dye. It's a matted material. So unlike like the back of a shower enclosure, you know how it's random strands and
it's
all pokey.
Right, right.
That's not what our windows look like. It looks like almost like a window screen mesh when it comes through and ready to put into the frame. And once it's all heat sealed and made rigid, it goes through a powder coating process. So you can get a really nice looking window that's very strong, very durable.
What matters is how you treat your doors and windows. They are the weakest link. Take the time to think through the right door and window.
Pella's two locations in Scottsdale and Tucson. Find them at rosieonthehouse.com under Certified Partners.